B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All the shows, and they're always fun having a good basketball conversation or a life conversation with this man. I enjoy his company on the road. Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline. Keith!
What's up, man? How you doing, bro?
How you feeling? All right? How's the family?
Everyone's great. I think they're tired of seeing me all the time, but they'll be okay.
You want to talk about a culture shock, right? Like, being home. All you've been is home. They're probably like, don't you have a road trip?
Yeah. My wife is probably thinking that right now. But it's weird because I'm used to always being on the go, and I'm pretty sure you dealt with it too. And then all of a sudden, you're home all the time. And then when you have to go back out again, it's like, whoa, I got to readjust myself. You know what I mean?
It's the truth. Let me ask you, how are you, how's it different, you know, covering this team, you know, just phones? And what are your plans on the Orlando? Like, how are you going to cover this thing?
Well, I'm going to be in Tier 2. So Tier 2 is like right outside of the bubble. I mean, you'll come in on game days and you'll be in the arena. You just won't, you know, live on campus, so you won't have as much access as the people who will be there. You know, they're subject to testing every day. Once they get there, they can't leave. You know, it's one of those things. So for me, I'll just come in, you know, I'll come in the day of the game, but I won't be, you know, close to the players. And most of the press conferences are going to be via Zoom. So right now I can tell you it's a little different because you're used to, you know, like, you know, you're a reporter. You go there, you talk to people, you chat with people, you see things from your own eyes. You know, and then there are times when, you know, afterwards you try to get that competitive edge and you pull someone to the side and ask a question that you didn't want a lot of people in the group to know. You know what I mean?
So yeah, that's my specialty. I'm with you, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
The double back.
Exactly. You know,
it'll be interesting for you. And we're talking to Keith Pompey, inquiry.com in this way. But the fact that it's such a big story that as a writer journalist, it's going to be interesting for you. And I think really rewarding for you to cover this thing.
It is, man. It is. You know, it's completely different. It's something that that no one has experienced. Players, media, anyone involved, fans. You know, it's just going to be different. And as much as we all talk about how we expect certain teams to do, it's a huge unknown because no one knows how people are going to react. You know, when they're with inside that bubble thing, are they going to want to go home? Are they going to be motivated? You know what I mean? It's just going to be, or who's going to get sick? You know, so it's so much to write about, and there's so much that we just don't know at this particular time.
So what do you think, talking to all the people that you in the league and everything else? I mean, do you think this thing goes off? You still think it goes off and they play?
I do, and you know why? At the end of the day, they're trying to save $900 million in TV revenue, national TV revenue.
That's a lot of money.
And the fact that it's down there and on Disney, which is one of the organizations or corporations that's giving them this money, I think that they're going to do their best thing to get this thing started. Now, again, if we had like a guy like LeBron James or a Kawhi Leonard or, you know, a guy who's a first team all NBA type caliber future Hall of Famer saying, hey, I don't want to play, then I think that we would have a question, you know what I mean, about this. But the fact that there are certain guys who are backing out, but they're not on that level yet. So
Depot's a big deal. And he's probably the biggest one. It kind of takes away Indiana's chance.
Well, you know what? Here, but does it really? And here's my reasoning, cuz. Because when you think about it, matter of fact, we were on that Indiana trip. I remember talking to you. You remember at the Indiana game?
I do. It was like the national championship game in college.
Yeah, exactly. And you remember how, like, we didn't even notice that Oladipo wasn't there. And it's not a knock against him. The thing is, it's like, they got used to playing without him this year. And when he came back, they struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
So if there's one year that you say, hey, Vic, take off the rest of the season, this is it.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point.
You know?
Yeah, I know. And they're a tough team for the Sixers because of the style in which they play. I'm not in love with that matchup. I think the Sixers will win. But I do think the matchup kind of gives him fits. We saw that team give him fits a couple times this year. You remember the New Year's Eve day game?
Yeah, that was bad. Because you think about it, they're huge, and they have the Twin Towers, right? And then they can match up against Embiid, right? And then also they have a couple unheralded players who are gritty. And they want to be like, what about me? What about me? Like you said, it is a bad matchup for the Sixers. You know, I think the Sixers could probably beat them in a 7-game series. But, you know, I'm not saying they have an answer for Joel, but they have two big guys that they can throw at them. And then, you know, they can create mismatches on whoever's playing the fourth.
All right, let's get down to basketball, right? This is my favorite subject. When we kind of dive deeply into the game. Keith Pompey with us on the Comcast Business Hotline, inquiry.com, the great beat writer for the Sixers. Who is your rotation? Do you start Matisse? Do you start Shake? How do you kind of, or Horford? How do you kind of look at it?
I'm starting Shake. I'm starting Shake. Shake. I got Ben listed as the point guard, but he's actually going to be my point forward, right?
Yeah.
When it gets down to it, you know, Shake is going to be the point guard, but he's going to be listed as like a wing. We got Josh Richardson, and then we have, Tobias. I was about to call him Terrell. Tobias, and then we have Joel, right? And then I think what's going to happen is, you know, you're going to have this word gets tough, though. I mean, of course, Al is going to be the sixth man.
Right.
And then Furkan's going to be in the rotation. And then, like, when they get down to eight guys, that's when Brett Brown is really going to have a tough task. Because, you know, right now I'm looking at maybe Alec Burks just because he gives you instant offense. But then I also like Glenn Robinson III. And I'm a huge fan of Matisse. But the only reason why I didn't say Matisse, definitely the eighth guy, is because I'm looking at Brett Brown's rotation as of late. And Matisse wasn't always in the mix, you know, in regards to getting
I need you to indulge me, all right? So my rotation, I start Ben, Matisse.
Okay.
And then Jay Rich, Tobias, and Embiid. Now, here's my reasoning. I want to start the game. I want my best defensive team in there. I also want to start the game. I need to have my big guys touch the basketball. So I need to have Embiid touch the ball a lot early. I need Tobias to get off early and need him to touch it. Jay Rich a little bit, but those two big guys need to touch the ball. And I want to use Shake's offense off the bench. And I think Shake coming in off the bench against lesser defenders. So remember, too, he's a young player, and though there's always more pressure on the young offensive player, let alone as opposed to the young defensive player like Matisse. And I got him off the bench with Horford and Burks. And I think that gives you some decent offense off the bench. It frees Shake up against a lesser defender, not as much pressure on him. And I got my other guys, my big guys, to touch the ball. And I play defense first because I want runouts. I want a fast break. I'm looking to score off turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I like that. My only problem with that is is that I think that teams are going to sag off of Ben, right? And they're going to sag off of Ben, and they're going to double team Joel, and then all of a sudden double, triple team him. And then all of a sudden we're going to see Joel, who's playing from the three-point line to the three-point line. And he's going to be forcing shots because he's just getting overcrowded in the paint. That's what I see. Now, again, I love Chiefs, and I think that Chiefs could start. I just think that right now what they're going to have to do is, you know, they're going to have to put Ben Simmons in a great situation to whereas people aren't going to sag off of him, and then you need another shooter on the floor with him. And that's the reason why I'm saying Shake. And I love Shake. But when Shake is on the floor with Ben, Joel, Tobias, Jay Rich, you know, Shake isn't going to be the guy that teams are saying, we got to stop Shake Milton. You know what I mean?
And that's totally
a knock on him. But I think that he's going to get, you know, an easier opponent.
Easier matchup.
Easier matchup. Yeah.
Keith Pompey with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right. So this is a great conversation. So let me counter again. So my counter to you is when I look at Ben, and if you sag off Simmons, mm-hmm. A, I want Ben to attack. Like, if you sag as a defender, that gets me spacing to attack the rim.
Mm-hmm.
So my first and foremost is I need you, Ben, to continue to evolve, because I thought he was attacking the rim a lot better this year. So I need him to attack the rim more. So if you sag on him, he's coming right down pike. And now you got to stop him at the rim. And then if he doesn't, then I use Jay Rich and I've been in the dunker spot.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good one. Now, the one thing that could help your calls out too, for the first time this season, or since the beginning of the season, Jay Rich is going to be healthy.
Right.
So, you know, so that could help some things. But, I mean, it's a good one. I just think he's more effective right now in the playoffs. Ben is more effective at the point forward. Now, maybe Jay Rich can play that one a lot, what the Sixers wanted him to do early in the season. If so, that makes a lot of sense. Because I like Matisse, but at the same time, I really love Matisse as a player, and I think he deserves the start. But at the same time, I'm just trying to look at something to see where they're going to clog up.
Yeah. Don't you think this too? Like, when you look at Brett, like, a lot of it's on Brett to, you know, listen, if you're going to play Brett's Euro style, then I hear you when it comes to, you know, Shake Milton. But I got to play a different style. I need more of a deliberate bully ball style. And I want buckets, transition buckets off my defense. I want run outs and breakouts. And then when I'm in a half court set, like we talk about, Ben dunker or Ben attack, and the ball goes to Joe or Tobias. And Tobias can't be shy.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, again, a lot of it's up to the coach. He has to figure it out. Just like in the close out the game, he has to figure out who's going to be out there. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you know, Al Horford, although it hasn't been a good fit, you know, at the end of the day, he is one of the best players on the team. So you have to figure out a way to close out the game with your best five players. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's a lot on Brett.
Now, Horford, is how you're hearing he's healthy, right? Like, that knee's not bothering him. So I'm hoping that Horford got a ton of open looks, Keith. So I'm hoping that because of that, he could knock down some shots and be more effective.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the thing is, the one thing I will say about Al is he could have easily said, you know, a lot of my struggles is because of my knee. Now, he never, whenever you would talk about his knee, he would shrug it off, right?
Yeah.
Just like Tobias has been playing. He was playing nicked up last year, and he was nicked up this year. But these two guys never talk about it. And if you ever bring up an excuse for the reason why he couldn't hit shots, he would get upset because he's saying, no, that's not it. Now, the one thing is, it just seems like, you know, we talked about that, about him missing shots when he was playing with Embiid, but it just seemed like when he was the center, and everything with the focus was on him, you know, he just looked like a way better player. And,
yes.
And let's face it, the shooting threes isn't really his game, you know? So, I mean, to me, that was like Dario Saric 2.0, where, okay, we want you to stretch the floor and hit it and attempt a set shot three. That's not his game, you know?
Yes. I agree. No, I agree. It's going to be interesting. Keith, great stuff. Always just fun conversation, man. I love you, buddy. Be safe down when you're down there, all right? Make sure.
I'm going to try to, man. I appreciate you, and I want you to stay safe up here, too.
Thank you, my brother. We'll see you soon, okay?
All right, Tom.
See you, Keith. Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline. Always great conversation. And it's funny. You know, one of the things that, no, I geek out a little bit, but I find this Sixer team fascinating because from a basketball standpoint. I find them interesting, and I'm sure they could be frustrating and all the rest, but that also makes for an interesting group. So when you think about it, Andrew, there's so many ways to play them. There's so many ways to play. That's why I think, you know, and I hear you when you talk about Brett a lot. I'm really hoping that Brett has a different approach, as a modified approach.
He has to.
And I hope that Ben has that modified approach as well. You know, and again, I'm not talking about shooting threes, all right? I'm talking about if you sag off them, you got to be able to knock down a free throw line extended shot.
Or attack. Or attack, period.
What? That's my first and foremost.
You know? Which we also know that he doesn't do that all the time.
Well, he had done it a lot this season.
Yep.
And so that's where I'm resting my hopes. And yeah. I think that's fair.
Yes. And you're right. I mean, this team is so fascinating, which is why I think a lot of people do say that the Sixers, beside the Bucks, have the next best chance of getting out of the East, because there are so many interesting ways that you can play with this team. And, you know, I don't want to go low-hanging fruit Brett Brown. All right, we talked about tabling things. I'm going to table the Brett Brown thing. I would have to imagine that when he came on with you about a month ago now, he had 3 months to study the film and see what works and what didn't work. And it's clear to us as people on the radio, it's clear to Sixers fans that this is not a team that should be launching threes all game long. And I'm sure he is smart enough to also realize that, but you can't play bully ball for all 82 games. We've talked about that in the past. So I hope that he has noticed that. And you know what? There were some interesting things. We've talked about Ben Simmons playing the pick and roll game as he being the big man. We've talked about Ben Simmons being the dunker position. We've talked about Al Horford coming off the bench. And you saw good moments. That Clippers game is the prime example where everything worked out well for the Sixers that day. And he shortened his rotation because it was right before the All-Star break. So it's not like he had to worry about any of that. And it looked good.
It did. And here's the thing. One of the things that's pretty obvious is that, you know, we can only go on the regular season. And this is the difficult extrapolation. We can only go on the regular season. And yet, they're really not built to be a great regular season team. And this year, because you had injuries and you had, you know, simulation issues, you had all kinds of things, right? Ben was out for a while, and B was out for a while. Horford was nagging injured. Jay Rich was out for a while. One of the guys we don't talk enough about is Richardson.
Yep.
Richardson is a guy that could play is a valuable piece of this whole thing.
Yeah, I've said this in the past. Remember when they went on that 4-game losing streak? They lost to Atlanta.
Yeah, there's no Jay Rich. Yeah.
There's no Jay Rich. And yeah. I was shocked. I was like, I know that Josh Richardson is a big part of this team because he's just another threat to score. He can D up pretty well. I didn't think it would be that much of a loss where Josh Richardson misses 4 games and the Sixers lose all 4 games. I didn't know that he'd be that much of a hit. I knew that it was important, but that much of a hit when you have Embiid, Simmons, Horford, and Harris?
I agree.
But clearly it was, and clearly he's a big part of this team. You're right.
I agree. I agree with you. I do. Malcolm in Camden, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Malcolm.
Cubs, what's up, man? How's it going?
Good, buddy. Good. Do me a favor. Take me off speaker, bro.
My apologies,
Cubs. That's all right.
Great interview with Keith Pompey, and I agree with a lot of the stuff that he said, but I agree more so with you with regards to the lineups. I like the starting lineup that you came up with Thibel starting. And the only reason why I say that, cuz, is because I saw it with my own eyes. We're going to be matched up most likely against Boston, correct, in the playoffs?
Probably, yeah.
All right, and if you remember, which I know you do, the last couple of Boston games, Matisse got a lot of time. He smothered the hell out of Kemba. His first couple of shots were blocked, and that's the key. If we don't have anyone to smother and take Kemba out of the game, that's going to be a problem. He's torched us in the past, and you know it. And I think if we can contain him early with someone with Matisse and his length and size, that's going to be very advantageous.
Oh, I think you're dead right. I mean, you look at that Boston team, right? Because you want to free Ben up to play Tatum.
Right.
You know, like you want to attack kind of how you want to attack them. So if Matisse is playing Kem, and I agree with his length, he's got great lateral movement. I think you got to be who you are, and your identity is that of a defensive team.
Exactly. And if you got him and Ben out there, they both can switch on Tatum and Kemba, because even though Ben's so tall, with his foot speed, you know, he can defend just about all four, in some cases all five positions if a team goes with a small ball five, you know?
Yes. I mean, think about it, right? Like, think about matchup-wise. And if you got – so you would have Matisse on Kemba.
Right.
Ben's on Tatum. You put Harris on Hayward. You would put Jay Rich on Jaylen Brown, and then you got who's their five? Who am I missing? Who's their five?
The white guy?
Yeah, Tice. Daniel Tice. Yeah, yeah. So you would have Embiid, just, you know, and basically Embiid comes. You just have to be out there and make sure he doesn't have threes on you. But other than that, that's a great matchup, I think, for the Sixers.
It definitely is. Hey, cuz, before you get rid of me, man, I wanted to touch real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the sports are down, but believe me or not, man, I'm more disappointed in my son's T-ball season being canceled versus if baseball is coming back. Because the last time I talked to you was about a year ago. Both of our boys were playing, and I was telling you how my son hardly needs the tee. And it was his first year playing at 5 years old.
I know, man. Yeah. I'm with Malcolm. I remember.
Yes.
And it's funny because ours got canceled too.
Yes.
And it sucks because at that age, you want them to get used to playing, you know?
Yes.
You want
to like little sponges, cuz.
Yes.
Even though it was there, I worked so hard with my son during the off season, cuz I have a townhouse, cuz, but we have a really big, like, communal yard in the front. So I take him out there a couple of days a week, work on his hitting and his fielding.
Good.
And, you know, the fact that there's very few African-Americans in baseball now, I'm trying to push my son there as much as possible.
Good, yes.
Basketball, but a lot in baseball. And he improved so much. So I was really looking forward to him playing. So to be honest, I was more heartbroken than he was. Actually, I just took his
quick
set yesterday, cuz, and it broke my heart, man.
I know, Mal. Hopefully we get through this and he'll be back. But keep working with him, right?
I will, man.
Do the same thing with my Massimo. I take him out. And we're always having a catch, and I do the drills with him, right? I do grounders, pop ups, whole thing. I just try to get his eye going a little bit. I pitched him a little bit, so just, you know, a little bit like that, a couple days a week, kind of keeps him engaged. You know,
I've been alternating with that and bringing out the basketball court, putting it in the driveway, so he switches up.
Baseball. That sounds like my house. We do the same thing. Malcolm, be safe, man.
I love listening to you, man.
Thanks, my brother. Appreciate it, Malcolm. Best to the family. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis coming up. Jimmy Lynam. And don't forget our second giveaway, assigned to Tobias Harris basketball. You don't want to miss it. Cuz Radio with the Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, 11:30. We're celebrating 7-6 days. July the 6th, and we're celebrating 7-6 day, 76er day. And by the way, got about a half hour. And we have a tent set up in the parking lot right here, One Battle Plaza. Great people at 97.5 The Fanatic, Beasley Media Group Station. We got a fun, we're the official home of Sixer basketball, and we have a fun tent set up. We're giving away t-shirts, little tchotchkes. So come on down and grab a t-shirt, a cool Philly t-shirt. I know Tuna's got his.
So I'll probably wear it tomorrow.
Yeah, good. Good.
Why not?
Good. So we're celebrating Sixer Day. We have all kinds of great giveaways. Our next giveaway is coming up in 20 minutes. It's a signed Sixers basketball. Tobias Harris, baby. That's right, Tobias. So make sure. And as we celebrate the return of the Sixers, return of the NBA, this week they go down to Orlando. Lots of great guests. But, man, I love this guy. I miss him. I miss him. I haven't talked to him. I haven't seen him. One of the greats, Philadelphia legend, Jimmy Lyne. I'm on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jim!
Anthony, how are you, sir?
How's my main man? How you feeling?
Well, as you say, we've been out of the flow. Not much basketball activity. Hopefully the NBA can pull this off. I'm looking forward to it.
I know. It would be fantastic just to get... And I love the idea of this thing because we're going to get basketball from noon until midnight every night.
Yeah, you're going to get your fill, that's for sure. It's going to be a little different. And I'm not quite sure what to expect, to be honest with you.
All right, so you, coach par excellence, when you look at this thing, how do you approach it? If you're Brett, how do you approach this whole thing? From the bubble situation to the no fan situation, how do you approach it from a coaching standpoint?
Well, it's a great question, and I'm not sure that I have a stock answer. Anthony, obviously, Brett and his staff have spent a lot of time, you know, knocking it around. First things first, you have to get your group together and get them in condition. I think that's a big deal. I mean, the teams who are able to do that, get these guys back in playing shape, where they can play NBA level basketball as quickly as possible. Certainly after 8 games when this playoff will start, I think that would be the first priority. But I think there's a mental aspect involved here, in that this, you know, the setting is going to be so different in terms of like playoff basketball.
I know.
Normally that's tremendous intensity, fan interest, the whole bit. And I think there's going to be an adjustment there. And again, the teams that are able to make that adjustment mentally, they're going to have a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, it's weird because there's no home court advantage, right? So the seedings don't matter. There's really nothing that matters other than you're going to play those 8 games just to kind of feel, get yourself back in shape, game shape, get a little bit of a flow going. And then it's kind of pure in the sense of, all right, it's about the best team.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say the seedings don't matter. You'd be making an assumption that the first 60 whatever games don't matter. My expectation is Milwaukee's still going to be a pretty good team when they come back, as are the Lakers, they being the two best teams in the East and the West.
Yeah, but I'm talking more about if you're the Sixers. The home court doesn't matter, right? And that was a team that was so much better at home. and failed on the road. And I don't know how that manifests itself. We're talking to the great Jimmy Lynam on the Comcast Business Hotline. How do you think that goes?
No, that's a great question. Obviously, the Sixers lose one of the best home court advantages, not just in the league, in the history of the league. What, they lost two times at home.
Right.
All right, so we know they don't have home games. But they were very, very poor on the road for whatever reason. And yes, they're away from home, but this is not going to be like the normal road games. So I don't know. That's going to be one of the fascinating things to see how that plays out. Is their play going to be somewhere in between? Grant, and their schedule to me is relatively easy. I think I saw somewhere where it was rated one of the easiest schedules. And I don't know if that's good or bad. Maybe you want it real strong competition.
Yeah, we'll test it.
8 games to prepare you. So there's a lot of unknowns here. And I think the Sixers, as you know, we've talked a ton over the months and the season. There are still a lot of unanswered questions with this team. Forget the setting. Forget the unusual nature of the schedule and that type thing. Where does Al Horford figure into this? What style of play? Are they going to be committed to a certain style? This team is going to be healthy, at least hopefully at the start of this, and they really haven't been real healthy all year long. So as a result of that, will that change the way they want to play the game? So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions that I'm looking forward to see. And I think the answers to those questions will tell you in a big part how well they're going to do.
Yeah, I got thoughts. As you know, I do. And I love to run them by it because I know we've talked bully ball, built for 16. Well, the playoffs are 16. Here we go. Yo, the game slows down a bit. Every possession is defended differently than it is during a regular season. And I want to see that style. I want to see defense and breakouts. And you know what? When you got a half court, you match, you feed the big man, move the ball. But I think that they're built to play a rugged, let's go to war type of style for the playoffs.
Well, we'll see. I'm not sure when you say that, are you implying, would you have Horford in your lineup for, let's say, to start the game and finish the game?
Here's my lineup to start the game. My lineup.
The backbone of that question is the more important one. I'm not as concerned. It's important that they get a rotation and get a feel of how many guys they want to play. Who starts the game is not as important to me as who finishes the game. But I think you do have to address that.
I agree. I would start Matisse. I go back to Matisse. I want Matisse. I think he went through his rookie wall. I want it. I want the defense to start the game. I want Joe to touch the ball early. I want Tobias to touch the ball early. I don't want him to be shy. I need him to be aggressive offensively. And I bring Shake off the bench with Horford and little Burks, and so I got a little offense off the bench. That's how I would kind of play it.
Yeah, which is I have no argument with that. Whether you start Matisse, if you'd like to start him for the defensive aspect, I think he's a terrific defender. And you're right, you'll get like a lot happening for your offense off your defense with the presence of Matisse. So that's fine with me. But as I say, more important to me is the rotation. So you just named three guys. You didn't name Furkan. Is Furkan in your rotation?
See, here's what I would do. And you tell me if I'm right. So locks in my rotation are obviously Horford and Burks off the bench. And then I play some Shake and I play some Korkmaz. And whoever's got the hot hand, whoever's feeling it, I ride. And the other guy doesn't get as much run.
And you would start Matisse.
Yeah.
I would, that's a little, I think the play of Shake Milton to me is key with how far this team is going to go. I think he has come back far. If you look at his numbers as a starter, granted it's a small random sample, he averaged close to 20 points a game as a starter and shot upwards of above 40% from three. And by the eye test, they were pretty good when he was in there. He takes a lot of pressure off of Ben, you know, in the half court set, I think. So it wouldn't be a game by game or a situational thing with me. Shake Milton's in my rotation, period. And he's going to get significant minutes if it were me.
Significant minutes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Just like
I mean, that's a lot. You got a team with Richardson healthy, Harris healthy, and Bean and Simmons. I mean, I don't know where you can find all those minutes for him.
Well, now,
because Rich is my backup point guard.
I'm not sure where you're going to find them either. My suggestion is you better find them. You can make the case if you dig out the box scores and look at the numbers.
You know, my problem
when they started giving Shake Milton consistent playing time, you could make the case that there maybe wasn't a more consistent sixer all year long with respect to their level of play than Shake Milton once he got his opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, with all due respect, it was during a regular season. There was injuries involved. And, you know, listen, I like the kid too. I just think you're putting
the fact that there were injuries involved has nothing to do with Shake Milton's play. Nothing. He's on the court. That's all that counts. Now, we'll see what he does.
Riding a lot on an inexperienced player in the playoffs.
I'm relying on
that. And quite frankly, when I got, if I have Simmons, Richardson, and Harris, right, I get there's that other spot that is going to rotate, right?
Let me stop you and ask you a question.
Yeah.
Yes, I would be relying on an inexperienced player in the playoffs. Who are you starting at the fifth starting spot?
Yeah, but he's a defensive.
Anthony, answer my question, please. Who are you starting?
Matisse.
Matisse, and I like it. But you ready? An inexperienced player.
I'm relying on a defensive young player. Yes, it does.
He has the ball. He can still throw a ball into the stands. Come on, he can make it.
You know better than anybody that relying on a young offensive player first is more rolling a dice than relying on a young defensive player.
Anthony, respectfully, I disagree.
Okay. Yeah, same thing.
Inexperience is inexperience. If you have enough confidence in the ability of the player, and I agree with you, by the way, I have no problem. I think Matisse will be fine. I don't think his inexperience is going to be a problem, nor do I think Shake Milton's will be a problem.
Yeah, I hear you. I guess you're more sold on Shake than I am. I hope you're right. I hope this kid belongs out there. I don't know. I keep going back and forth to like Richardson. Like what's my role? The reason why I brought up injuries is because of guys' minutes. He got run because certain guys were not in the game. Now you have a healthy team. How do you disperse it?
That's why I said one of the keys to their success is going to be to determine a rotation. You can't go into a playoff not knowing who you're going to play. Oh, well, he had a good shooting practice yesterday, therefore. No, you have to have a rotation, and you have to stick with it. You have to believe in it. Because if you don't believe in it, your players aren't going to believe in it.
Right. Yes. I keep going around and around, is that whose minutes, who am I looking at? Right, like how am I dividing this game? I agree with you in that Korkmaz is the one guy that he only gets any kind of run is if I give him a couple of minutes and if he's feeling it, I'll ride him for a little while. Otherwise, he's not getting play.
Yeah, but that's not the way the season unfolded, as you know. I mean, Korkmaz, you know, he was a strong player in his rotation, and I think you have to say he played reasonably well. He certainly improved as an NBA player, but I think
what am I missing, Jim? I am I I don't think that the regular season, I can't go into it. I need to change up my style a little bit.
I have no problem with that.
All right. B.
You have a healthy team now.
Yeah.
You want to accentuate Joel Embiid in the half court. That doesn't mean you can't run the ball. If you aren't going to run the ball up and down when you have opportunity to do so, there's no sense of having Ben Simmons, who's the best open court player maybe in this league.
Right.
So every chance you have to run a ball,
yes,
stop or off a turnover, you got to run the ball. And they will. You can take that to the bank. They'll do that. But that doesn't mean that when you're in the half court that you can't, to use your phrase, pound the ball inside to Joel and try to play bully ball.
Yeah, I'm going to use my length defensively to create breakouts.
Agreed. But obviously, then that's where you're trying to run the ball. When you get your using your length, whether you're creating turnovers or getting stops, because you'd be wasting that defensive advantage if you're not looking to run it on those occasions. Do that, by the way. That's not, you know, some people say, well, you know, you either are one or the other. Not necessarily. No, a lot of really good teams over the history of this league, you know, they run on the stop, is the phrase. You know, when you get a stop, that's when you run. The defense isn't set. Whereas when the defense, when they score, you know, now, you know, they're going to get back more readily. So now we'll get it down there. We're going to put it inside to Joel.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of look at this team and the way they're built, and I know they're not the Rockets and they're not today's, you know, not the best of, you know, 2020 firing threes. That's not who they are. But to me, they could be as effective as, they're almost built like those teams in the 80s that would break out. Magic, run a break. Ben, run a break. And then when you're in a half-court set, you know, Embiid plays Jabbar and you run your offense.
That's not the worst comparison. I'm with you.
Yeah, I love talking to you. I love it. Jimmy Lyon, I'm on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tell me about the regular. One of the differences that we had a moment ago was, I guess I put a little less stock into the regular season. Am I putting too less of stock in the regular season and the lack of playing defense and, you know, road trips and then the grind of the 82?
Well, I would say not necessarily, because this new situation is going to be like so different than anything that we've seen. So to say, how is it going to relate to what took place, you know, back when, which seems ages ago? It's certainly not like a normal relevance, as you can't just forget 82 games and all of a sudden ring a bell and start playoff basketball. It doesn't work that way. Usually, the regular season is a pretty good, you know, like forerunner of what's going to happen in the playoffs. But I'm not going to make that case now, no, because this is so different.
How about Horford, Jim? How do you use Horford? Maybe he talked about his knee being healthier. How do you kind of see Horford fitting in? Because to your point, and you started the conversation with, hey, it's about who's finishing the game. Is Horford finishing the game for you? Obviously, it's matchup. A lot depends on who the matchups are. But what do you do with Al and trying to make sure that Al's a big part of this thing?
Yeah, I saw a statement Al made, if it wasn't yesterday, the day before, where, you know, he's comfortable. However, the Sixers opt to use him. And that to me kind of was almost like a little bit of a signal that he was saying that if you guys don't want to start me, he's fine with that. I have no problem. I love Al Horford, the player. I think he's a terrific player. I just think that sometimes with respect to he and Joel being on the court at the same time together, they're just not maxing out the two players with respect to what they're capable of doing and where they're comfortable in terms of what Joel is surrounded by, and that Al doesn't quite get the opportunities that he could get when Joel is not on the court. I would like to see him featured a bit more when he's out there by himself, meaning without Joel. I think that would help him a bit.
Jim, I love you, buddy. I so appreciate this. I love having this conversation, batting it around. It's just fascinating. So it's great to kind of reconnect with you. And I'm looking forward to these playoffs and getting there, getting ball back, a little semblance of normalcy.
Yeah, I think it's really going to be, well, obviously we've missed it for so long. So like you, I'm really looking forward to it. But I think there really is, I'm not just trying to create storylines. I think there's a lot of intrigue here as to, like, I have no idea, you know, how this is going to unfold as a league, number one. And then what's specific to the 76ers, you know, there's a lot of questions here. I think if this team can answer these questions, you know, in a positive way, like, you know, get the right answer popping up for you, I think this team has a chance to go, like, really far.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm with you. Listen, you got to be safe, all right? Stay safe, my brother.
All right. And the same for you. That's obviously the first priority for everybody. Good speaking, my friend.
Amen. Love you, Coach. See you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Here he is, Jim Lynham on the Comcast Business Hotline. A lot of fun. Good conversation. He's very high on Shake. Lots of people loving the Shake.
He said he was the most consistent player on the court after he started getting minutes. Good amount of minutes.
Well, I think we should look at. I I'm on the other side of the Shake thing. I like Shake. I just don't want to ride and die with Shake in the playoffs. I just think he's a very young player. And I do think, you know, with respects to Jim, that when you're relying on an offensive young player. Offense first young player is a little different than when you're getting a guy that plays. All you got to do is play D. You're not tight on your shot. Like, he'll get a couple threes, whatever. But when it comes to Matisse, I just need you to go play defense. All right. You know, that's it. Whereas Milton, there's a lot more creation, shot, the whole thing. And I'm not saying that he can't do it. I'm just a little dubious that against better defenders, you know, teams that it's now you're defending every possession, it's a little different than when it's a regular season game and you're feeling it, right? That's all. All right, it's time now for our second giveaway. It is a signed Tobias Harris basketball. So, of course, we started with 7, and now it's time for 6. So the 6 caller to the contest line, 215-263-0975, will be awarded the Tobias Harris signed ball. Coming up, we got a little bit of a break from our guests. So I want to hear your take on especially the Shake thing, and then the big picture. All your Sixer talk and, you know, where we're at. Was the process a success or not? Give me your Sixer resume. Favorite all-time Sixer. The Sixer that disappointed you the most. Give me your Sixer resume. 7-6 day. So we're celebrating a little Sixers basketball. Kevin DeGondi will be coming up at 12:30. Chris Heck, the president of the Sixers, at 1. Tim Legler at 1:30. Right now, let me tell you about the Bagster. Oh, the Bagster bag. Yes, I like to throw the whole the virus in the bag. My God. Now it's airborne. No, man. We're done. Let's go. I like to throw all your trash in the bag. What do you got, Tunis?
What I can throw in the Bagster?
Yeah.
Huh, that's a good question.
I'm not mad at anybody.
I'm in a good mood today.
I know, right? I am too.
I just saw John Clark just post that Aaron Nola arrived to camp finally.
Did he?
Yeah, so I'm feeling great, man.
Especially you got your eye on baseball.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice. Listen, you working on renovations for your home. You're getting a new roof for the house. You're organizing the garage or the attic. Maybe you're working on some landscaping. If all that sounds like you, let me tell you, the perfect cleanup solution for all of these projects and more, the Bagster. The Bagster, by far the most convenient, affordable way to help with your cleanup. The Bagster, what a pride. I love this product. A free cubic yard dumpster to bag sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores for only $29.99. It holds 3,300 pounds of waste. Now, that's the equivalent of those metal dumpsters, man. Those ugly, eyesore metal dumpsters. This is a bag. all the pros use it, like my man Marco from Crow Construction uses the Bagster. Great for us. All the cleanup and all the stuff you want to do. Garage, attic, remodeling, the Bagster can take it on. Buy it, fill it, schedule your collection with waste management. Poof. It's gone, though. Time limit's completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com to find a store nearest you for more details. This is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with the Bagster dumpster in the back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.